You were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, then live and let live.
In the morning, July 8th, Wednesday. Started out there with a little Paul McCartney and Wings, and then changed gears on you midstream when you thought I was going all mellow on you.
Now, this guy is really losing it. He's playing some really mellow music. It's just like a bad jazz station.
We're coming off a More Pain show. Just a few hours ago, hour and a half ago, covered a lot of topics on that. And then, boom, about an hour and 40 minutes in, power outage. Yikes. That'll put a crimp in your broadcast. So hopefully we'll keep it rolling here. Stormy on the East Coast in different spots. Shout out to everybody. Subscribestar.com/TruePundit and Patreon.com/TruePundit. Watching the video podcast. I sound like a broken record every night, but it supports us and we appreciate it. And we're rocking and rolling, and we're a lot of interesting content this week. We have the big Wednesday podcast coming after this one, after this Pain in the Morning. So keep an eye out for that sometime today. Later today, of course, not right now. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the news. I say that every day, but it's getting increasingly hectic and crazy. So we'll try to stay on top of everything here. Try to keep you a day ahead of as best as we can of the curve, and also give you analysis that you really can't get anywhere else. Maybe a little bit of humor, maybe a little bit of sarcasm, and a little bit of anger mixed. Complete concoction of mayhem. And again, we are off to the races on this Tuesday, July 8th. First headline, daily coronavirus deaths in the U.S. continue to plummet as confirmed cases hit record levels. It's going down, 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 so let's go down under. Coronavirus-linked deaths across the U.S. continued on a downward trend as of Monday, even after the country hit historic levels in a number of new confirmed cases late last week. As of Monday, the seven-day average of deaths in the United States continued to plunge. Now, we have a chart of this COVID-19 chart on our website under the Pain in the Morning July 8th story. If you like charts, there's charts. 42,500 new cases today, 654,000 new tests, 209 deaths reported. So, well, I'll editorialize in a minute. Last Sunday, the U.S. recorded a historically low single-day number of fatalities, over 200, below any other day since March. Data from the tracking project showed echoing figures by a world meter, 209 deaths, down 23% last Sunday, lowest Sunday since March 28th. This is patchwork of guidelines across the United States for reporting deaths, with some states and databases reporting probable coronavirus fatalities while others do not. We're going to be tackling this in a big way on the Big Wednesday podcast later. You're not going to want to miss that. We got a whistleblower dropping bombs on major hospital schemes. It's an insider from a hospital's massive hospital system. Really dropping the dime on these folks and what they're doing to try to manipulate the data for profit and worse. 21 states set new all-time cases records in the past week. This is case records, not fatalities. United States exceeded or got close to a record of 50,000 cases on at least 3 days last week. Several databases show that the 7-day average of infections has spiked in recent weeks. However, not everyone who contracts COVID-19 dies from the... Not everyone. Not fucking anyone. Most fatalities involve seniors and individuals with chronic underlying health conditions. We know that. CDC study tested antibodies early this year, accounting for mild, and who gives a shit? Gives a fucking shit about the CDC. The bottom line is, tests are up. Cases are up because the testing is way up. The numbers are way up, the number of people being tested compared to previous months, and the deaths are down. 200 deaths a day. That's the same amount approximately that we lose to opioid overdoses. If you're going to close the country down for anything, do it for that. That's tearing families to shreds. Show a similar, hustle and bustle to try to fix that problem with different programs. But no, that doesn't fit the narrative to control your life. So, we just can't win with this bird brain in Seattle. The summer of love returns. I need a good hippie song for these summer of love people who shoot each other in the streets in Seattle when they're not defecating in the streets. Okay. We'll do a little zombies.
It's the time of the season when love runs high.
Seattle mayor admits CHOP led to crime and coronavirus spike. Oh my God. Somebody has one of the puppet masters has stuck their hand up the ass of Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan is getting this ventriloquist dummy to change her tune. Be a good question for any questions out there. Mayor, is it true that someone has their hand up your ass and you're a ventriloquist dummy? Where are you from? Well, get him out of here. He's one of these right wingers. How did he get in the special love zone?
He bought a tie-dye shirt out of the gates.
Durkan, the Seattle mayor, remember this bird brain? She was appointed the U.S. Attorney of Seattle by Obama. Screwed that up and then became the Seattle mayor. Full-time mayor and part-time ventriloquist dummy. She's not a full-time dummy. Durkan, in justifying her executive order of allowing these gutter snipes and street varmints to perpetuate, finally cleared out the occupation, trying to return some semblance of normalcy to the streets, ultimately made some harsh admissions on her part. After significant national attention, many protesters have left the area.
But the conditions in the Cal-Anderson Park area have deteriorated to the point where public health, life, and safety are threatened by activities in and around the area. Really? Who would have guessed? Incredible. Durkin's order lists a few key facts, including the three tragic shootings on June 20, 22, and 29, which claimed the lives of two black teenagers and left more wounded. So much for time for the season for loving. During the first of these shootings, the order notes that first responders from the Seattle Fire Department and Seattle Police Department were denied safe access to the area by hostile crowds, including armed individuals and obstructions. It's sad. In addition, the police department received numerous reports of narcotics use and violent crime, including rape, robbery, assault, and increased gang activity. Durkin states, an increase of 525%, 22 additional incidents in person related crime in the area to include two additional homicides, six additional robberies, and 16 additional aggravated assaults. What? Something that's a real resume builder. She might have to put that on her resume on LinkedIn because I don't know how much longer this dummy's going to have a job. Durkin had originally defended the Chaz as a peaceful protest that had a potential to become a summer of love. Should we play it again? I'm playing again in the background. What the hell? I can't believe he says summer of love. She said that, and then it's like a block party. Residential and businesses in the area have documented incidents of harassment, graffiti, noise disturbances, shootings, and obstruction of vehicular traffic to residences and places of business. Multiple lawsuits, claims have been filed against the city by residences and businesses impacted by the activities in the area. Significant damage has been caused by those remaining unlawfully in the area. If you're new here, that's a sarcastic laugh that means Jesus. Lord help us. It's not laughing for the sake of laughing. It is a last gasp, what the hell happened to our country laugh. Open fires and vehicles on the... Jesus, it's just... The alarming recent rise in COVID-19 numbers across the region. This is from the mayor. She's admitting this. Coupled with the lack of social distancing in the area and a daily attraction to this area of outside individuals, placed the neighborhood at opening businesses at increased risk for outbreaks. Durkin stated. We'll finish up here. This is what happens when these folks want to run something, run a city, run a skateboard park, run anything. They run it into the ground. Durkin admitted some other important facts. Turns out that Antifa and her occupiers might have violated Seattle Parks and Recreation's code of conduct. Oh, that's a big deal when you're shooting people. The Park and Rec's code of conduct was also violated. Such violations like dumping trash, creating unsanitary conditions and health hazards, that violate public health rules. It's the time of the season for defecating in the street. Unfortunately, I don't drink until after the show. But I just get so giddy with what's happening in our country, I just have to sing out. He's doing that laugh again. He's pissing me off. Mildred, turn that fucker off. We're tired of his laugh.
These behaviors impede restroom usage. Yeah, I would say urinating and defecating in the street is definitely a violation of restroom protocol. I guess maybe there's been a lot of changes in Seattle, but that much I hope still rings true. Blocking entrances and exits and fire exits and disabled access areas is also a violation. If you're shooting people and the bodies are blocking those egresses, that's also a problem. That could be a violation. Public walkways, blocking conduct that creates an unreasonable and substantial risk of harm to any person or property, and abusive and harassing behavior. It's nice to know in Seattle you can shoot somebody or beat somebody down, and all you get is a $5 ticket from the Park and Rec Commission where the police are running away with the belongings from their desk from the precinct they vacated in a box like they've just been fired. Lord, help us. I'll just say it this time instead of doing my sarcastic laugh that seems to annoy people.
One more laugh. One more laugh. Mildred, we're unsubscribing from this guy. He's unstable.
Headline. Here are some of the billionaires who got PPP loans while small businesses went bankrupt. And I also have a supplement to that. So I'm going to read from the screen, and then I'm going to go off line and read. Wow. They had to highlight this in green, right? Who am I, fucking Al Gore? You're supposed to read a green highlighter. I'm going to have to swap glasses on the fly. Somebody's going to get windburn when I whip these glasses off. What kind of music we got for this one? Oh, since these big companies are stealing your money from you, small businesses and the like, we'll play a little Robbie Dupree. Remember this too? Some of you young kids may not. Tough shit. Steal away. Billionaire property developer Joe Farrell received up to $1 million in taxpayer coronavirus relief funds, and other players in the world of celebrity and influence who took advantage of the loans under the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, that was meant to help struggling small businesses hurt by coronavirus shutdowns, include Kanye West's $3 billion clothing and sneaker company, multi-millionaire pop artist Jeff Koons, and the Church of Scientology, which is reported to be worth at least $1 billion. What happened to the separation of church and state? I guess it's separate until you need a handout. And it's not separate anymore. PPP was sold to the American people as a program to help mom and pop shops keep the lights on during the pandemic. Kyle Herrig, president of Accountable US, a government watchdog group, said to legally qualify. We're going to go through the list of these people. Fucking billionaires who took money meant for small people to try small businesses. It's insane. It's a massive grift. And we're, by the way, you're on the hook for this. I'm on the hook for this. These are handouts. They'll never be repaid. So our tax dollars hard at work while you're out of work. Figure that out. To legally qualify for the taxpayer-funded relief, businesses must self-certify in good faith that the current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support the ongoing operations of the applicant. Applicants must also check a box that says the loan will be used to retain workers, maintain payroll, and make mortgage interest, lease, and utility payments. You're going to find out Not a lot of people were making those applications. In other words, they're using it for different purposes, including stockpiling funds in the bank. The emergency payroll relief effort reached 80% of all small business employees and 27% of low and moderate income communities, according to the Small Business Association. In April, that's where it's going to get good. In April, after the initial, it's not going to get good, it's going to get bad, but it's going to get interesting. Any good. In April, after the initial round of funding swiftly ran out, fierce battles broke out over which companies received the loans and whether they deserved to by either the letter of the spirit or the CARES Act, which created the program. Before this was even rolling out, I had an argument online with some idiot who writes under a pseudonym, and everybody seems to think he's the cat's meow, and I told him this was going to be a disaster. And he said, but Mnuchin is a genius, and he's really smart, and you don't know what you're talking about. And a little voice inside my head said to tweet back to him, hey, I was at Citibank for 10 years, you little fucking prick. I'll snap you like a breadstick. But I didn't say that. I just let him go and piss in the wind. And I figured it's another dope pissing up a rope. So when the smoke clears on this, I will be vindicated and let this dummy, this Pied Piper of idiots, send him on his way. Back to the hut, Hansel. Find Gretel and do your homework. Just like I said, it's been a disaster. Hundreds of public companies and an unknown number of private companies ended up canceling their loans and giving the money back, but some others held on, some other big ones held on, including some operating in high net worth orbits. Yeezy LLC, the apparel brand owned by Kanye West, the music producer and designer, took a loan for up to $5 million. The loan supported the retention of 106 jobs. Kanye West holds a 100% stake in his company, which was recently estimated to be worth $3 billion, according to estimates in Bloomberg. Yeah, it's okay. He's married to Kim Kardashian. She's not. How much is she worth? She worth $5 billion? Just insane. The fine art, and isn't this dummy running for president? Yeah, he'll fit right in D.C. The fine art studio of Koons was known for sculpting metal balloon animals that fetched tens of millions of dollars at auction, got a loan for up to $2 million, supporting 53 jobs. Fucking balloon animals. Metal balloon animals. The Church of Scientology, whose founder, L. Ron Hubbard, made it a stated goal to recruit celebrities, and which claims several household name actors among its members, had several entities of its church take PPP loans. According to the SBA, Church of Scientology in New York, the Mission of Bel Air in Largo, Florida, and the founding Church of Scientology in Washington, D.C., each took loans for up to $350,000, supporting a total of 137 jobs. Nearly 100 of those were in New York, while almost 40 were in the Bel Air facility. D.C. organization self-reported zero jobs retained. That's good. We're not going to retain any jobs, but give us the money anyhow. Or L. Ron Hubbard's going to come down in his spaceship and zap your ass. We haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. This is just a warm-up. This is nickel and dime, $300,000, blah, blah, blah. But we're just we're easing our way into it. If there's a bright light and I'm no longer here within the next 5 minutes, it means L. Ron Hubbard came down and got me in his spaceship and maybe can't make the stuff up. Just supposed to be for small companies, but hey, like Mnuchin is going to do anything about it, or anybody's going to do anything about it. Fraud is going to run wild. No one's going to do anything about it, and you're paying for it, and so am I. That's what's insane. All this money, Kanye West got, you're paying for it. They don't have to pay these loans back, quote unquote loans back. They're forgivable loans if they follow the guidelines. That means we're literally paying for these things. Did you get a share of Kanye West's company? Of course not. Companies are not required to report how many jobs they retain to take the loans, but they must do so within 24 weeks to qualify for the loan to become a free grant. Free, in quotes. Free, in air quotes. Free for them, not for you. Free for me, not for thee. Nearly 50,000 other companies had zero jobs retained in the data set. So, PPP was created to retain jobs, SBA spokesman Jim Bellamoria said in an email. I can't speculate on what borrowers use funds for. That's good. Nor can you follow up on it, right? It's not my fucking money. Fuck that shit, man. Not my problem. As a supplement, let's tackle this. Other loans. Other notable list of companies that receive the most money from small business bailout loans. Let's see. It's dark in here. The law firm Boies Schiller Flexner, whose chairman David Boies has represented the powerful clients such as Vice President Al Gore in the Bush v. Gore Supreme Court case, received between $5 million and $10 million. That's interesting. Very well-known lawyer cashing in.
We're going to sue you for slander. We didn't cash in yet, but we plan to. This guy's out of control. Is that the guy with the nervous laugh? Son of a bitch, we heard about him.
Here you go. Secretary, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao's family business, Foremost Maritime, got a loan valued between $350,000 and $1 million. You know who Chao is, right? Chao is the wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky. Somebody should say ciao as goodbye in Italian to Mr. McConnell. Cocaine Mitch, beat it. Goddamn turtleneck prick, get out of here. Purdue Inc., a trucking company co-founded by Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue, was approved for $150,000 to $350,000 in loan money. That's so nice. These guys just... I think Purdue probably needed the money, right? One of the biggest companies in the world needed that $350,000. Yeah, sure. Restaurant chains P.F. Chang's, China Bistro, and Chop received the aid of between $5 and $10 million. TGI Fridays, I didn't even know they were in business. I thought they became TGI Thursdays. They were history, which is backed by the private equity firm Tri-Artisan Capital Advisors, received $5 million. Put that on your extreme fajita. The Archdiocese of New York got a loan valued at between $5 million and $10 million, while the Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of San Francisco, Washington, D.C., New Orleans, and Boston, among others, all received assistance valued at more than $2 million. Maybe they can... needed the money to settle lawsuits. I apologize to all my grade school nuns. Not really. Numerous news organizations received PPP loans. Forbes Media got $5 million. The Washington Times got at least $1 million. The Washingtonian got at least $350,000. The Daily Caller received at least $350,000. The Daily Caller News Foundation got at least $150,000. The American Prospect received $150,000. True Pundit received zero, as usual. Congratulations to all you welfare fucking journalism hobos. Again, with your hand in the dumpster looking for a fucking fishbone and a handout instead of making your own money. You guys a new low for the media. Meanwhile, you media pricks, there's people out there working hard in small businesses that need this money. And your business model can never make money, okay? And very rarely has made money. Very few people in this can make money, self-sustaining. And it's another blow to the hardworking Joe out there because you've just took money off of their table and food off of their table. Because you guys suck at what you do perpetually. And you're always looking for handouts and bailouts, you welfare queen fucking bastards. Okay. Political organizations. I'm glad they gave me this supplement. Political organizations also receive loans. The Ohio Democratic Party got at least $150,000. Florida Democratic Party Building Fund got at least $350,000.
And we need money to buy masks. We're going to die.
Well, the Women's National Republican Club of New York, I think that has two members in it, got at least $350,000. The Black Republican Caucus in Florida got at least $150,000. It goes on and on and on. You read these stories on our website. It's insane. And you're getting, don't forget, you're paying for this. This is on your back. They threw an estimated $17,000 to $40,000 on your back in debt on this, on each adult American's back, based on these bullshit multi-trillion dollars. If you wrote it out in zeros, you wouldn't even know when to stop. Trillion is massive. Stimulus packages. And guess what? Cocaine Mitch, my wife just got money from you, McConnell, says there's another one coming in a month or so. Another multi-trillion dollar bailout. I wonder if his wife will get some of that too. Fucking criminals. And we're not done. This goes on and on and on. And I want to talk about this because this cuts to the heart of the matter of the swamp. I have my glasses off. If you're watching the video, I'm taking cues from my high school and college professors right now. And I'm teaching class. Oh, Jesus. This is Ruth's Hospitality Group, which owns the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse chain. AutoNation and Shake Shack are among those that took PPP loans. So did the Los Angeles Lakers. They and many companies ultimately returned the money after public outcry. More than $30 billion in loans were returned overall. Lawmakers have also pushed to find if politicians or their families have taken the funds from the program. Representative Vicky Hartzell, Republican of Missouri, on Thursday disclosed that her family's business received $480,000. Thank you, swamp creature. And guess who else got money? Pelosi! We're going to talk about that. I saw that headline coming up. And this cuts to the heart of the matter, folks. Everybody's cashing in on you. And you're back. And you can't even imagine how crazy these people are. Well, yeah, you can, because you're watching it unfold. That they flaunt it. They don't care. Like the Pelosi's. They don't care. Well, while we're at it, try to remind myself to run a quick search while we're doing the Pelosi story that comes up and see how much money they've made. Check in to see how much money they've made on AOL stock since the corona. Not AOL. AOL stock. Fucking Amazon stock. We broke that story too. We'll look on that in a few moments. We need to change gears before I blow a blood vessel talking about these people. Can you imagine ripping you off? You're sitting at home out of work. You're going to pay for these hobos, these welfare fucking queens. And these guys complain about real public assistance. The folks under the poverty line that need it just to eat. Okay? These guys complain about them. Look, these guys are the real welfare queens right here. Un fucking believable. And that just scratches the surface. We could go on and on and on. The Kushners, Jared Kushner's family, hotels got bailed out. Makes no difference, Republican or Democrat. There's no Republican or Democrat when the when they line the cash trough up in D.C. and everybody oinks, oinks, oinks and grunts their way and bellies their way through the mud to the trough. There's no political party. It's the cash party. Cash is king. Headline, Florida's coronavirus fatality rate lower than several blue states and 10% of the entire population has been tested. Sunshine State, sunshine of your love. Florida's coronavirus case fatality rate remains lower than several states led by Democratic governors, such as New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Let me start that over and try to rewrite that. Florida's coronavirus case fatality rate remains lower than several death camps led by Democratic governors, such as New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Governor Ron DeSantis outlined on Monday, he noted 10% of Florida's population has been tested for the virus, a factor that may have considered germane when he was analyzing the Sunshine State's recent spike in cases. I've been waiting so long for this scam to end. No end in sight, folks. While it is true Florida has continued to report thousands of new cases per day, breaking its all-time single-day case, this is what they're all fucking hepped up about. There's new cases. It's breaking records. If you put a microscope like this on the flu and flu stats, you see the same thing, right? This is like saying 25 people in my town today got flu. How many died? None, but I'm just telling you. I'm letting you know there's a real problem out there. Some bullshit. Plus, a lot of the reporting is fake. Example. I'll go off on a sidebar. People, like, they wait in line to get tested. They check in, and then they're waiting in line to get tested. There's like a line, you know, before they can get tested. And these tents and things. Or when they go into places, they have to wait in line before they get tested to these tents. Not all the tents are drive-through. Some of them are walk-up. And then they're like, fuck this, after like a half an hour. I'm out of here. I'll come back again. And then they get a text like the next day. And you've tested positive. Your test was positive. And they're like, what? The fuck are you talking about? I didn't even get tested. I left. I gave you guys the wolf ticket. I said, I'm out of here. You guys wasted my time. I'll come back later. Oh, you're positive. I mean, this is insane. These people are not very good at breaking the law, but they're doing it anyhow. Geeks are usually very sloppy when it comes to crime sprees, I've found. They just don't care. Ask Bill Gates, ask Fauci, ask people like this. They'll let you know. State Florida, which has a population of over 21 million, has tested over 2.2 million, or 10% of the population. The state tested nearly 400,000 people the week of 6/29 alone. And one of the factors leading to what appears to be a sudden burst in cases, but not deaths. The governor has been careful to point out cases have also been on the rise due to increased social interactions among the younger demographic. It's called the beach. The current age with the most cases in Florida is 21. Oh yeah, by the way, the mortality rate of people that age, 0% on average. Blue state governors running death camps like New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, have been quick to slam the way DeSantis and other Republican governors handled the virus. I guess if you don't kill a lot of people, 6, 7, 10,000 seniors, then you get criticized.
You're supposed to kill as many people as we did. That was the plan. This is bullshit.
You played politics with the virus and you lost, Cuomo said last month. I'm using my Cuomo voice as the same as my Bruce Springsteen voice because Cuomo thinks he's a political rock star. But he's just another asshole with a fucking red bandana in his jeans. And Cuomo's equivalent of Clarence, the saxophone player, is de Blasio. He's always blowing some shit through. Always blowing some bullshit tune. Or me. I'll just put the brakes on that one there. Current data, however, shows Florida in a far better shape in terms of the case fatality rate, which on Monday sat at 1.9%. DeSantis compared the numbers to Connecticut, 9.3%. Another death camp. New Jersey, 8.6%. Death camp. Michigan, 8.5%. Death camp. New York, 7.6%. Death camp. Massachusetts, 7.4%. Death camp. Pennsylvania, 7.2%. Dope camp. Illinois is 4.9%. Not as bad, obviously, but Florida's at 1.9%. Look at these numbers. New York, 7.6. Pennsylvania, 7.2. Jersey, 8.6. Connecticut, 9.3. Why are these people not under investigation for killing people? This is manslaughter. You don't get those numbers unless you fucked up big time. There's no help with the Justice Department. That's a lost sheep. That's why we're in this situation. They're in on it. They're a partner. They're licensing this madness and mayhem. DeSantis also pointed out to a recent CDC seroprevalence study showing that the coronavirus was likely far more widespread than we thought at the beginning of March. We've heard that. The virus has been around for quite some time, DeSantis said. As the study suggested, the cases were likely 11 times higher than suspected. Good modeling, Fauci. Great modeling, pal. Great modeling, you fucking criminal. Ferret. Leaders in Florida, unlike Pennsylvania and New York, also took decisive action. Well, I think the leaders in Pennsylvania and New York took decisive action. They decided early they wanted to kill a lot of old people, and that's what they did. That's very decisive. It's true.
And that's it. He left. That's how we're done with him, Mildred.
Leaders in Florida took decisive action at the beginning of the pandemic to protect the most vulnerable, unlike other states. And the most vulnerable being those who resided in long-term care facilities and nursing homes. Officials prohibited those who tested positive for the virus to be admitted to those facilities in Florida. Pennsylvania's Tom Teen Wolf and New York Governor I Like to Kill Old People Cuomo did not initially take the same action. In fact, did the opposite, which led to thousands of deaths in those facilities within their states. No problem. They get off. No problem. Don't worry about it. Sorry we killed people, but we know a lot of people, and no one's going to come after us. So, sorry your loved ones are dead. Consider yourself lucky that you're not with them. It's a damn shame, really. New headline. Democrats threatened to shut down the government over statues. You know who this is, right? House Democrats. Uh-huh. Pelosi. And her crew. How about a little? We'll go back to the zombies and dedicate this to Speaker of the House about her mental facilities and faculties. Well, no one told me about her. She's not there. Well, no one told me about it's true. House Democrats working on the annual appropriations bill say that they will force a government shutdown unless the statues of Southern politicians in the Capitol are removed. And what we say about Speaker Pelosi mentally is, she's not there. the government will technically run out of money on September 30th. Yay! Thank God. Maybe they'll all pack up and go the fuck home. Unless Congress passes appropriation bills. Well, you know that's going to happen. The appropriation for the legislative branch includes the demand that the Confederate statues in public areas be removed and returned to the states that donated them. The Democrats are also demanding that plaques and markers that honor people with unambiguous records of racial intolerance be removed as well. Wouldn't that be half of their party? Or most of their party? Remember, the Democrats were the ones opposing the end of slavery? Yeah, that was the Democrats. The Republicans voted for it and pushed it through with Abraham Lincoln. Well, the Democrats and their KKK buddies. Let's see.
This is a goddamn outrage. We ain't gonna stand for this.
So I guess they'll be removing a lot of their records of racial intolerance in their own party. Can't even make this up. These people are so brain dead. They want to shun history of the Confederacy, the Democrats, and the Civil War because they're the fucking bad people. Okay? That's why. That's why. They want to erase that. She's not there, all right. Neither are they. These guys just make up reality and figure, if we get rid of all the bad stuff we did in our nation's history, no one will remember.
They'll think we were the ones that liberated the slaves. Yeah, let's get rid of them damn statues, boy.
Requiring the removal of Confederate statues in the Capitol almost certainly sinks the bill's chances of becoming a law before the government funding runs out at the end of the fiscal year on September 30th. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that the fate of the markers should be up to the states that donated them. Every state is allowed two statues. They can trade them out anytime, McConnell told reporters last month. A number of states are trading them out now, but I think that's the appropriate way to deal with the statue issue. The states make the decision. Maybe McConnell's wife can use some of that PPP money to buy some. Put it in the backyard next to Mitch when he barbecues. He looks like a fucking wooden Indian. Perhaps Pelosi and the Democrats can invite the mob to remove the statues themselves. It doesn't appear they will be anyone to stop them as the Capitol Police are being reformed to reflect the new reality. House Democrats want to flat fund the Capitol Police $464 million and aim to increase transparency by urging the police force to create a system for public information requests similar to the Freedom of Information Act process. Oh, probably so they can be ignored too, just like the ones you send Congress. We need to spend millions to reform this FOIA system so that we can ignore it. Mm-hmm. All of our friends make money, though, on the IT side, and we get a kickback. They would also call on the Capitol Police to report on diversity in the ranks and racial profiling, as well as further explain that their jurisdiction and review Inspector General reports to decide what can be made public. What a horse shit. It's all horse shit. All horse shit. All smoke and mirrors. Sad state of affairs. If you think that this country can recover, just listen to me daily. And I'll give you the straight skinny, not like these idiots. They're telling you everybody's going to jail and there's hope. Hope porn, P-O-R-N. That's what these folks sell. We need to lasso reality with the truth. And speaking of the swamp and the insanity of said swamp, a Biden-funded law firm received PPP funds, documents show. Play a little bit of something for Biden, pretending. Pretending to be a lot of things. A prominent Delaware law firm founded by presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden received Paycheck Protection Program loan, about $350K. Well, that's nice. The law firm that received the big payout was originally funded and founded as Biden and partner Walsh. Was now known as Monzak, Mirsky, McLaughlin, and Browder. Biden currently has no official interest in the firm financially. Wink, wink. However, firm co-founder and partner Melvin Monzak, whom Biden called one of his great friends in 2017, has maintained close ties to the former vice president. He served as Biden's 2002 Senate re-election treasurer, as well as the treasurer for Biden's 2008 presidential run. According to CBS News, Monzak, who has donated thousands to Biden's presidential campaign, attended a state dinner at the White House for Chinese President Hua Jintao in 2011. I don't even care if I pronounce that right. The law, the law firm is also a registered agent for companies tied to Biden. Oh, but what? I didn't have any financial interest in it. That sounds like a financial interest to me. Records reviewed show that on July 6, 1987, Biden gave Monzak his legal power of attorney to demand, sue for, and receive all debts, monies, securities for money, goods, chattels, and other personal property. I thought he didn't have a financial tie. That seems like a big financial tie. Last week, the Biden campaign released a video that included a small business owner saying that the Trump administration has done nothing to help her. The advertisement did not disclose that the business owner received thousands in federal relief money. Biden and his allies have also stepped up their attacks on what they'll call President Trump's cronyism and the distribution of stimulus money. That's the pot calling the kettle black. Blockhead. He is pretending. I don't see how this race can go. I mean, if it goes to this presidential race, is Biden really going to debate? I mean, that's going to be something to watch. That's all. What? You think that the ratings for Trump-Hillary debates were high? Okay. You're going to see, I think, even much greater ratings because I think people want to see what happens. Biden can't even put two sentences together. He's going to debate. If they actually put him up on the stage and debate Trump, it's going to be sad. I can't do that to the guy. They're going to have to come up with some kind of scheme where they forego the debates because of COVID-19. Yeah, I could see that happening. This is kind of an offshoot, but I could see by September they'll be, you know, in the throes of their second phase, so to speak, possibly, and they'll say, no, there could be no debates, and that's how they'll try to sneak Biden in the back door of the White House. That makes a lot of sense, even though it's kind of a left-handed monkey wrench, so to speak, that I just kind of pulled out of the air. But I can see that. I keep an eye on that. I just don't. He's not going to be able to perform. He can't even do a commercial on a pre-recorded commercial on YouTube. He's fumbling around. It's like, wait a minute, this is pre-recorded. This is recorded. This isn't live. He's still fumbling around. Oh, man, what a DC. DC has become a complete zoo and circus. Speaking of that, the company connected to Pelosi's husband received the coronavirus bailout. We'll play some mafia music. It's not really mafia music, but since Nancy really is the mafia boss and her dad was basically a connected mafia guy, Mr. D'Alessandro out of Baltimore. Scary guy. She acts like the mob boss. She's brought up in the house of a mob boss. Reputed, connected, whatever, alleged, whatever. A company connected to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband received a loan from the Trump administration's $669 billion paycheck protection program. I apologize for soiling such a good Luciano Pavarotti song by connecting it to this lowlife, this carpetbagger, Pelosi, who grew up in Maryland and Baltimore and somehow ended up in California, running California, United States via California. Another carpetbagger on the move. I apologize to the estate of Mr. Pavarotti, but I don't care enough to change the song. Nancy Pelosi's spokesman. There's always this spokesman that gets involved.
Nancy, that's not her money. That's her husband's money. So your inquiry is ill-timed and ill-thought.
Oh, okay. They filed taxes together, right? Yeah. End of discussion, you fucking droid. Answer the question. Nancy Pelosi's spokesman described Paul Pelosi as an investor in the firm, which turned up in loan-level disclosures for the program that were released by the Treasury Department yesterday and the Small Business Administration. EDI Associates is listed as a recipient of a loan between $350,000 and $1 million. Fucking bullshit. Same company was listed in Nancy Pelosi's latest House financial disclosure report, filed in May 2019. EDI Associates is listed in Pelosi's disclosure form as located in Sonoma, California. It's identified as a limited partnership with investment in the El Dorado Hotel. The value of the asset on the form, identified as belonging to Pelosi's spouse, is listed at about $500,000. The revelation comes after Pelosi criticized the Trump administration's handling of the PPP program. Yeah, she didn't get her fucking money fast enough.
We wanted $2 to $3 million and we only got one. This is bullshit.
Businesses owned by politicians also borrowed from the Treasury Department's borrowed. Where is this out of? I don't know where this is from. I like to borrow a fucking wiffle ball bat, crank whoever wrote this over the head. These are not loans for the most part. These are freebies. These are handouts. Let's rewrite it. Businesses owned by politicians also got handouts from the Treasury Department's Payroll Protection Program, including a minor league baseball team owned by the family of the governor of Ohio, a large franchisee of Wendy's, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut restaurants, whose CEO is a major donor to President Donald Trump, receiving loans totaling between $15 million and $30 million. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. When the cash trough is filled to the brim in D.C., folks. And the news just keeps getting worse and worse. You know, this coronavirus is one hell of a scheme. There's all different kind of branches and tentacles of fraud coming out of this thing. This is well thought out. This isn't something that was just cooked up on the fly. A man could sing. Not as good as these guys make the cash sing in D.C., though. These guys are pros, man. Banks. Headline. Where are we at? Wow. How much do we got left here? Not much. We'll just roll with it. We got a big Wednesday podcast coming today, too. So we'll just finish this up in stellar fashion. Not be too concerned about time. Banks stand to earn millions from the PPP loan fees. And we know that. We know they've already made $10 billion on it. I'm talking with my guys at Citi. There's only one thing to do. One thing to do when you make that much money. Wrap it up. I'll take it. This is their theme. Little Fabulous Thunderbirds will tell you all about the banks. America's largest banks are set to earn hundreds of millions of dollars in fees paid out by the federal government under its Paycheck Protection Program, according to S&P Global. Just put your loving in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. Tell Mnuchin to wrap it up. I'll take it. The S&P analysis found that more than 30 community banks could earn as much from emergency small business loans as they reported in net revenue for all of 2019. Thank you, Corona scam. JP Morgan Chase, America's biggest bank, issued the most PPP loans out of any bank, processing $28.8 billion of loans as of June 20th. That could yield the bank more than $800 million in fees. You better bet your ass it'll be more. Bank of America was the second biggest issuer at $25.2 billion. And they're going to probably bring in about $1 billion, too. Those are two banks, $2 billion. A lot of banks. You add it all up, it's going to be well over $10 billion. But those are the two biggest pieces of the pie for sure. Smaller banks with assets under $250 million also stand to get a significant windfall. It will be enormously profitable for us, maybe the most profitable thing we've ever done, according to Rick Wayne, president and CEO of Northeast Bank, community bank with just 9 branches in Maine that also handles commercial loans nationwide. The bank stands to collect $9.8 million in fees. Fees range from 1% to 5%, depending on the loan. Let me tell you how that works out. If your credit's good, you're paying 1%. The government's charging you 0.5% on the money. So you make 0.5% on that loan for people with good credit, companies with good credit. If you got bad credit, the government's still charging you 0.5% on your money on the loan, but you're making 4.5%. That's where they make their money. They make their money on the distressed folks. The people who need the money the most are paying the highest VIG. That's how it works in banking. It's fucking brutal, but that's life. And guess who doesn't have to basically lift a finger, and they make more money than anybody? The banks. And guess who is friends with all the banks from his Wall Street days? Mr. Mnuchin. The swamp knows no boundaries. The swamp recognizes no political parties. It's just the haves versus the have-nots out here. That's what we're talking about. Last story, I think. Andrew Cuomo is still trying to cover up his deadly mistakes. Thank God there's more on this fucking guy. Thank God. What do we got for this guy? Oh. Yeah. A song and a destination. All in one. For Governor, I Like to Kill Old People, Cuomo. This is where he can go. Or where he might be headed, to hell in a bucket. I had to work in some dead for my old Citigroup crew back there that are out there listening. I can't mention their names or they'll be cyber-stalked by maniacs. So I'll just say initials, C period O period and B period A period. We'll leave it at that. There are others, but we'll leave it at that. A little Grateful Dead for you guys, my old part of my old Citigroup. crew. And we just talked about how fucking evil banks are. So fuck both of you. Screw both of you, carpetbagging bastards. Now, I hope you guys are doing well out there. I know you guys are listening at work. They listen to work. They listen at work. It's funny. I got let out of the building by the fucking FBI, but I'm a goddamn call hero at this place. I guess, I don't know. Is that how it works? I don't know. What a journey my life is. Andrew Cuomo? Looks like he's investigating himself here. He's going to hell in a bucket. He sent a lot of people. A lot of people went out. Left this world because of this asshole. At some point, don't you have like a conscience? I would hide under a rock. I would look like Ted fucking Kaczynski. I'd be living in a shed. If I wanted to talk to people, I'd be cutting out letters from magazines and taping them together. Never to be seen again. A recluse. This guy is out on TV. Yeah, it's great. Old people are dead. Yeah. No, it's their fault. It's Trump's fault. Trump killed him. It's a sick motherfucker, this guy. On March 25th, Cuomo ordered nursing homes to accept patients regardless of their coronavirus status. Even then, it was well known that the elderly were more vulnerable to the virus, yet Cuomo defended the policy.
Nursing homes don't have a right to object. That's the rule, and that's the regulation, and they have to comply with that, Cuomo said in April.
Jesus, this is a sick guy. He finally rescinded that order on May 11th, but the damage had been done. Cuomo enabled a massive outbreak in New York nursing homes and then tried to cover it up with bogus coronavirus stats and rhetoric. But the cover-up is still happening. Cuomo's administration investigated the policy and its impact and predictably concluded that the decision to send patients who tested positive for the coronavirus into nursing homes was not a significant factor in the thousands of deaths that occurred in nursing home facilities statewide. Thank God that Cuomo's administration investigated Cuomo and not Bill Barr. You think Bill Barr would have more time on his hands now that Golden Corral and Country Buffet have been closed down? Apparently not. I thought that would free up a significant portion of his daily schedule, but I guess not. I guess he's found room service over the Mayflower.
This Mayflower is top notch.
It's insane. These guys should be under criminal probe. There's no doubt about it. Trump, where you at, buddy? Instead, the 33-page Cuomo administration report blamed nursing home staff and visitors for unknowingly infecting nursing home patients.
We also blamed the people who got sick. Those sons of bitches. They knew what they were getting into.
This is the mentality. It's completely insane. This bastard can go to hell in a bucket. I'll see you there, you son of a bitch. Guys like this have a fucking condo by the Lake of Fire. They'll be next to McCain. They'll be neighbors. You had this political conspiracy, and the deaths in nursing homes were preventable, Cuomo said.
And now the report has the facts, and the facts tell the exact opposite story. Oh, it's our report. We did the report. I am vindicated.
This guy's a mental patient, is what he is. He's a fucking mental patient. He's a scary guy. If I was in this guy's family, I'd fucking run. You'd find me at Covenant House. I'd be hiding under a bed in Father Bruce Ritter's Covenant House. The report conveniently was presented as state lawmakers are discussing holding private hearings on Cuomo's nursing home policy.
Let's have some hearings. I think this guy might have killed some people.
I hope these assholes get sued into oblivion and have to pay out, and they go even further in the hole. There's $6 billion in the red now. I hope they're $45 billion in the red by the time this nightmare is over with. They got some balls trying to pull this. Killing, literally killing people. What's this country coming to when somebody can do this? And just not this guy in one state. That chanty Irish dope Murphy in Jersey did the same thing, and on and on and on. We talked about it earlier in the broadcast. New York Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort called the Cuomo administration report an insult to every New Yorker who lost a loved one in a nursing home. Nursing home patients represent a mere 0.46% of the United States population, but account for at least 43% of all coronavirus deaths. That's what they used. This is what they used to drive their scheme. They killed old people. They made it look like a massive pandemic. And they lied about it at every turn, and they killed people, I think, on purpose. They were throwing people on ventilators. They knew ventilator mortality rate was 85%. What the fuck? Guess what, though, guys? There's nobody to do anything about it. There's no DOJ. It's all a cover-up. It's a scheme. They're licensing these people. Dr. Betsy McCaughey, PhD, a constitutional scholar, best-selling author, and healthcare expert, said back in May that Governor Andrew Cuomo's deadly nursing home policy during the coronavirus pandemic likely cost 10,000 lives. Double the state's official numbers. It's hard to know what's worse, the dying or the lying. Congratulations to Dr. Betsy McCaughey for calling him out in May. I said this in April, so it's nice to have somebody jump in right after I did and kind of bail my out on a limb saying this guy was killing people. And I said it early, and you could tell the patterns of a scheme. And when you've been around it long enough, and you know that these guys, this man's a psychopath. He's a psychopath. And it's not hard to connect the dots when you're dealing with a maniac like this and others. And they're running states and a large portion of the country, and it's scary. And it's scary. And there's nobody is going to do anything about it, and they know it. Nothing is scarier than that, folks. You want to talk? That's real fear when maniacs are in charge of you and there's no oversight and they know it. And this is exactly where we are. So, buck 14, pretty good. Pretty good. And there's another one coming later today. We jammed this one with a lot of information. I don't know why they're giving me so much goddamn copy. Hey, whatever, man. We'll try to get as much out as we can. An extra 15, 20 minutes isn't going to kill anybody. Unless you're in New York and Cuomo's in charge of you. Extra 15 minutes could kill you. Appreciate the support on patreon.com/truepundit. We're doing the video podcast on there as well as subscribestar.com/truepundit. We're not funded by millionaires. We're not funded by billionaires. We're just funded by you. Regular heirs, definitely representing and represented on those platfors by the have-nots as we continue to battle and shine a light on the haves in a continuing and perpetual, seemingly perpetual and never-ending battle of good versus evil that parallels the haves versus the have-nots. And we journey on. Keep an eye on the Big Wednesday podcast coming later today. I'm not sure. Maybe the afternoon will drop it. I don't know. We still have to put it together and do a lot of stuff. It's very interesting, to say the least. I think you're going to want to listen to that one as we have somebody from the inside, behind the scenes, pulling the curtain back on this coronavirus scheme from inside a massive healthcare system. So, as I say every time, and I mean it, it is heartfelt. God bless and take care.
I'd like to ask J.D. Sumner to stay up to sing one of my favorite songs, Why Me, Lord?
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do to deserve loving you
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. JD Stamps, it's fantastic. Thank you.